morning. Good morning. Abby?
Yeah, it is.
How are you?
Right? Very good.
Pardon me?
Is this Nancy?
Yeah, it is. I don't know whether Char is going to be on or not today.
Ah, how was your holiday?
It was very good. How about yours?
It was good, yeah. And we have Christmas Eve. We don't usually do Christmas Day.
Uh-huh.
Christmas Day, all we do was just hang around and take naps.
Uh-huh. It was very sunny here, so that was delightful. I actually had a walk.
Oh, I know it. It was. It was beautiful. I kept on saying I'm going to go for a walk. I never got out there.
Oh, well. I can't believe I waited until 4:30 to go because I should have been out when the sun was out more. But it was a beautiful day. No wind and nice temperature on the local.
Oh, I know. Absolutely beautiful, huh?
Yeah. Who else do we have on?
This is Betty in Pittsburgh.
Hi, Betty in Pittsburgh. Did you have sunshine yesterday also?
We did, and it was gorgeous.
It makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Who else is here?
Hi, Nancy. This is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. Do you know if Char's going to be on today? I came on and nobody was doing it, so do you want to go ahead or... I don't know where Char is.
Yeah, we'll see if she comes.
I am here. I just picked up the phone as you were saying that. I have... company that are leaving to head back to Canada, about a 10-hour drive, so I tried to say goodbye. I did say goodbye. I couldn't try. So, good morning. Thanks, Nancy, for picking up on it there.
You're welcome. You're still home?
We are. We're still waiting for the final word of paperwork to come through, so, I mean, I'm not waiting. I've got tons yet to finish out for year end, but, you know, everybody knows how that goes, so... We don't even need to discuss it at this point. Everybody else has another week to get it done, or almost, so.
You may end up having it also because it's such a slow time. A lot of places don't do a whole lot this week, as you know.
Yes, well, that's what has always been my plan, is to get it done the week between Christmas and New Year's. So that's the way I normally do it because it is a slow week. It's probably the slowest week of the year as far as just other people's activities.
Sure.
So anyway, good morning, guys. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas yesterday, or celebration, whatever you were doing with family. And I don't know who all we've got on the phone, so maybe I could hear that just to have an idea.
Dan's from Little Rock.
Good morning.
It snowed this morning.
It's snowing this morning, huh?
Well, it snowed yesterday, 2 to 3 inches.
Oh, well, we got beautiful flakes that came down for, well, I noticed them for about, maybe 15, 20 minutes, but it was done and over with and at the time that they hit the ground, so we didn't have any evidence left, doggone.
Well, we got enough to make a snowman.
That's all that counts for the kids, isn't it?
Yep.
Who else is with us?
Okay,
I heard Dottie, and then I didn't hear.
Oh, this is Darlene from California.
Good morning, Darlene. How are you doing?
Real good.
Loretta from Maine.
Who from Maine? I'm sorry.
Loretta.
Loretta. Okay. Huh? Good morning.
Morning.
Jeannie in Phoenix.
Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning.
And I know you're not having snow. No.
We're not.
Phoenix.
We wish we'd like to see some, you know. Watch the Weather Channel.
There you go. Well, our friends from Canada said we didn't really want to be in Portland. We wanted to be in, and they're quite a ways into Canada, of course, because we always appreciate white Christmases, and all we get is rain when we come here.
Oh, yeah.
I said yes. Okay, anybody else that I've missed?
Betty in Pittsburgh.
Betty, good morning, Betty.
Good morning.
Next. Okay, so how did you guys all fare for that? Well, this is Char Rogers, and this is the Lifestyle, Advanced Lifestyle Call, and the reason we're here is to work on improving our health by the form of food that we're putting in our body in addition to all the wonderful technologies that NECAN has. And a change came about last
about last May it started, and that was because of a book called The China Study, written by Dr. Colin Campbell, which is the largest nutritional study ever done to this date, 880 million participants in it. So we found some exciting things. It's not new. It's been used for decades and decades and decades, well, centuries, I should just say, and make it easy. And the principles still apply. It's the way our bodies are created and how they work best, and it's dealing with a plant-based diet. So anybody have comments or questions right here at the opening?
Char?
Yes.
Yeah, remember how we were talking about recipes for, you know, substituting of eggs and things?
Uh-huh.
Well, I Googled it because I have a couple of recipes that I want to make, and I know you gave the one with flaxseed, but one of them, for each egg used, you can use a teaspoon of baking powder, a tablespoon of liquid, and a tablespoon of vinegar, or a teaspoon of yeast dissolved in a quarter cup of warm water.
Okay, that first one was a teaspoon of baking powder. I've not heard this one.
And one tablespoon of liquid. Doesn't say what kind.
Probably pine egg would be wonderful.
Yeah, and a tablespoon of vinegar. I can send you this if you want, because it's quite...
Okay, that would be great.
And it has a tablespoon of apricot puree is another one, which you can use bananas or... But on the other one, and, well, let me see, then they have the oil and the water and the baking powder and a packet of plain gelatin, warm water. And
okay, now that would be animal product again.
Oh, yeah, the gelatin is?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, okay. But then they I printed out another thing, and it says commercial egg replacers and then bananas and applesauce. But it tells you... also, this here tells you what you should use in what recipes. Like if it's a cake recipe, you would use a different substitute than you
right.
would in a casserole, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I looked it up, and I Googled it. And anyways, I'll send it to you so you can pass it out.
Okay, great. And the one that McDougall recommends is, I want to... Jeannie, do you remember what that is, or Nancy? I don't know whether you've used it, Nancy. I think Jeannie has. It's energy. It's in a orange box, and I find that that is the very most common one. I'm glancing through this book now, and I'm not seeing it right off the top of my head. But I have used that in a lot of recipes. In fact, I even foamed it like you would egg whites the other day. And it's only a teaspoon of it is equal to one egg, and then you've got to mix it in with the liquid in most recipes, and it tells you that on the box. It's not hard to find. Everybody seems to carry that one. It's a real, real common one. And a box of that would last you for a long time.
Oh, okay.
There's lots of eggs, lots of egg equivalents in that container. So I will add that to the list when if they don't have any brand names down on the one list that you've got, right?
Okay.
We'll add that to it when I get it then. Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. There's lots of alternatives for doing that. And it, like Dottie said, it does depend on what you're putting it in as to. And the one I'm talking about, you wouldn't be making scrambled eggs, by the way, either. So with it. It's not that kind of a substitute. Just replacement in things, especially baked things or things that you're thickening. So, anyone else? I might be to that section here. I'm skimming it as I'm waiting here.
Excuse me, this is Molly in Ohio. I just...
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't catch it. What do you say, that this is the egg replacement for bacon?
Yes, it's. She was giving egg replacers. And Molly, I'm not sure you're on my email list because I went looking the other day for your email and didn't come up with it.
Okay.
Would you shoot me? Just put ALS in the subject line and I'll add you to my mailing list, because I don't think I've got you on my email list. If you haven't been getting recipes lately, you're not. Denny Shar at Comcast.net.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Okay, and anybody else that wants that, because I probably, my other list got dumped and I didn't see it there, so. Anybody else with comment or question?
I cut into a cantaloupe yesterday that was really amazingly sweet, but then I realized that it was not from this country. And, you know, the other day I was at the store and they had an announcement that they were a big special, blueberries, raspberries, I think, and blackberries, 99 cents a container, which was like a minuscule container. But had they been from the U.S., I would have bought some of each. But they were also from, I think, Mexico. I have a real problem buying from other countries, and I didn't realize the cantaloupe was from someplace else, too. Although, I feel a little more protected with something like a cantaloupe because of the shell.
Right.
Rather than the berries. Any comments on this? At this time of year, it's so hard to find more, you know, so many things from the U.S.
Right. Very difficult, I know. The company that we had was a chiropractor and her husband. And she happens to eat the same way and feed her children that way for the most part. Now, they have some other product. They use some eggs. She had lived on total plant-based until she got married, so she was very, very familiar with it. And also, we had very interesting conversation about GMO, and told me that Canada is probably worse than we are as far as that is concerned, which was a surprise to me because I hadn't talked to anyone from Canada just recently, definitely not about that subject. And she feels more comfortable than probably we have been talking with things that are brought in. But, however, for the most part, she does within a 100-mile radius of their house as eating as much of the year as she possibly can for as many things as she possibly can. So we're, we're right on with people that have been educated for some number of years on the same subject. So, just watch it and use your own judgment and be aware of where things are coming from and, you know, maybe just extra precautions that you have to take. When we're in Mexico, we have a product that we use to wash all of the vegetables and fruits, all of them, even before you cut into them. And the rule of thumb by the Americans that are there in Mexico is that if you are cutting through the peel, you wash it. Actually, it soaks for 15 minutes to kill any negative bacteria. Now, we should not need to do that in this country. And we didn't buy berries down there. We didn't do it. It wasn't the season for them anyway. But even the oranges or anything like that we were peeling, the only exception that we made is that normally you peel the banana and you're not cutting into the flesh of the banana. So you just, bend the top off and we didn't do it on that one, but we just got in the habit of dumping everything in the sink and setting it in with the cap full of sanitizer, and that was what we did when the vegetables came home. And we've never had any problem, and I've done that the whole time we've been going back and forth to Mexico. So those are for local precautions. Now, when they come into the States, there should be actions taken on them to secure it, so they're not transporting anything in. And, but, that's left up to us, so.
And you're relying on our government to do that?
Yeah, right. That's what I said. That's up to us.
Okay. To clarify, and the 100-mile rule is wonderful, but at this time of year, that takes me to farmland that's iced over.
right. You're not even getting much cabbage off of it, are you?
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. I'm still picking broccoli, so.
Wow.
And Benny hasn't gone out to get any more of the root vegetables yet, but we've got to pack up some of those when we leave, too, because we've got plenty of those still on the ground that are very usable. So, yeah, different parts of the country are definitely different now. Down there where Jeannie is, if she had a garden going in her backyard, she would have all kinds of it still going on.
Started a business, couldn't I?
You could do a great business, couldn't you? Right now. So, did you guys do something exceptional for the holiday, different than you would have, just a different idea maybe that you put on things yesterday, any of you?
we just went. We went to a friend's house, and they made rack of lamb.
Was it a contribution too that other people did, or was it just?
No, it was just they were.
They were preparing.
Yeah, they were a friend of ours who, for years, she came to our house for Christmas, and now she is with a fella, and they decided they wanted to treat us, and so, but they had lovely potatoes and beautiful, hey, I have a question. They had a cauliflower that was yellow, and it was beautiful, and with a big thing of broccoli steamed on the side and a beautiful salad. They make gorgeous salads.
Okay.
The cauliflower, I'm wondering what makes it yellow. It didn't say anything on there about if it was, you know, blended with something else or...
I've seen that, yes. They're growing it that way, so I would guess, unless it's an old seed they've recovered, that it's probably a hybrid that they've come up with. That,
yeah.
Because there is green, there's yellow, and there is another color, and I can't think what color it was that I saw advertised.
Yeah, the broccoflower.
Right, but no, there was another one too that they were doing. In fact, I remember, and some of the vegetables, when I say it could be old, is reading about one of the potatoes that I remember my father-in-law growing years and years ago, that I would have, if someone had said now to me, I would have said it was probably a hybrid, but in reading about it, it was an old, old, old seed. It was not a hybrid at all. It was long before they were doing hybrids, and it is a colored potato. So, you know, don't jump to conclusions that it's all negative as it appears because of color and something we're not used to, because that doesn't necessarily mean. And, you know, there's all different degrees of what they're doing when they talk about hybrids, just crossing them, or where they talk about genetically adjusting them, modifying them, to where, and what that's referring to mainly is to get much higher production, as well as having inbuilt pesticides into the seed so that the pests do not bother, or if they do bite into it, they actually die, whether it's the leaves or the fruit of it, or vegetable of it, whichever. So those are the kinds of things that can not necessarily be good and are outlawed in most of Europe. They're not allowed to play with the food the way that they are here in this country. So, and that comes from information from Seeds of Deception is one book. There's many others, but it's well validated, footnoted in there. So if you guys want any more information, this can be overload for some of you. So just disregard and take it on at the simplest form. I only do this because I get asked questions, and I try and give some form of reference and validation to the questions you guys are asking. And for my own information, I'm not putting it on you guys when you ask questions. And I don't remember who asked me the questions several weeks back on my statement on GMO or information on it. Anybody else?
Is there a purple cauliflower?
You know, I think there is.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I'm going to look that up now and see. Maybe I can Google that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm sure you could. That would be very interesting.
Yeah, my first thought was, wow, you know, more color, more antioxidants is what I statement I made. So I, you know, ooh, it tastes any different than cauliflower. It tastes the same, but it was pretty, you know.
Oh, very attractive, yes. And, you know, we don't have to be paranoid about these things as long as it doesn't become a habit of that's your daily vegetable.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jeannie, was it just the four of you there?
Well, yes. There were the four, the kids came too. There were four kids that came, and they actually left before dinner.
And she knew that you do not eat this, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's reading the China study.
But she wasn't offended that you didn't eat the meat.
Well, we did sample it. We had a taste.
Okay.
And we decided we did not like it. But and they, you know, there was a lot left over there. And he's a big smoker. He orders his meat, and you know, they both struggle with their weight, and, you know, they both like to dabble in things, but they don't go full force into things, it seems, just yet, you know, and yeah, it's interesting. you know, and I was telling, she was saying, but the meat, you know, it's all grass-fed and, you know, this whole thing, but not understanding or probably having read enough into the China study yet to see the reason, you know, behind it. So we just, you know, we were social and we had a taste and decided, yeah, this is not for me.
I was social last night, too, and Cheryl, the wife, said that when she began dating or they got married, whichever it was, anyway, her husband's favorite dessert was cheesecake, and she vowed that for him she would make the best cheesecake. She would perfect a recipe until everybody would say it was the best cheesecake they'd ever eaten, and I said, okay. Here goes my 5% animal product, and I had a sliver of it, and I asked her if she'd ever modified it and tested it with different things in it, you know, to make it more user-friendly for the way she had previously eaten, and she said, yes, she had. She says, I can't come out with the exact flavor, but I can come fairly close, and she told me some of the things she had done, but she had lightened it. And it was way beyond any cheesecake you've ever eaten as far as ingredient list of everything being very light and very low in the animal product, except that, of course, it was. And so anyway, it was interesting, and I said, she wrote down the recipe for me because it was memorized off the top of her head. She's worked with it so much and made it so many times, and I said, you know, that would be one if I was going to utilize once a year something that I wanted to serve somebody else, I might bend and do that because it was worth it. There are times that, you know, we don't have to. We're not doing this to gain brownie points to prove that we can do something. We can do it in a way that is acceptable and still not look like we're, you know, very, very strange, just like what Jeannie was saying. And that's what I uphold. So anyway, don't ever think we're purists. And I don't feel extremist by any means when you understand the facts behind what you're doing. It's what we choose to do to try and promote a greater level of health for ourselves as well as for other people also.
So are you going to send that recipe down?
I will, and I'll put my notes on it.
Sure.
I'm going to, I know I will have an audience to test it on back in New York, so that's what I will do. Because Denny also liked it. In fact, he has never been much of a cheesecake eater, and he went back for a second piece, and his sliver was a little bigger than mine. Literally was a sliver. It was probably about 3/4 of an inch wide and a little bit of cherry topping on it. But it was, and then what the girls asked for was whipping cream. And she says, well, you know how often you see whipping cream. And I said, you know, I can supply that because the recipe that Nina Dressler had given us. I still have that. Guys, that keeps forever, which I don't know whether that's good or bad because it is heavy oil, heavy fat, but so is whipping cream, of course. And it was still in the refrigerator, and it's probably been, I'm going to say, 3 weeks since I made it, and it was still wonderful, and her girls absolutely loved it. They asked for more. Her mother says, you have a teaspoonful. That's how much you get. So on theirs, but they didn't want to eat it from that point on without it when they had came back for seconds. So. Okay, somebody else.
Yes, this is, I just remember some time ago, Yvonne Baggett, Weston Baggett, mentioned that she doesn't use soy milk, but use almonds. I meant to search for information, but I haven't done that yet. What is almond more beneficial than soybeans?
Well, depending on whether or not you're utilizing, of course, it's a new subject, new to me to this degree, let's put it that way, with the GMO and the soy being one of the the products that are most highly GMO, genetically engineered, in other words, products that we have to deal with, soy and canola oil. Oh, soy, canola oil, help me out. What did I say before? Corn, soy, and canola oil, although the corn is more towards the animal end and not the sweet corn, is what I found out as I was going through it. Those are the three most that we need to watch as far as consumption. And so when you're dealing with the almonds, I do almond and rice, and that is our milk. And I like to spell it the way one of the doctors spells it, M-Y-L-K. So it distinguishes the fact that it's not cow's milk. When you write M-I-L-K, everybody knows or assumes it's cow's milk. And so he uses a different spelling. This is Dr. Gabriel Cousins. And he uses M-Y-L-K to determine that it's made from plant-based. And so I use 1/2 cup of almonds to 1/4 cup of rice, brown rice. And I've used sweet brown rice, and I've used just regular brown rice, and both of them work out well. And then after I have run that through my milk maker, which you can do the same thing, by they have to be soaked and for about 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours, I think it is on that. I just used the directions that came with my milk maker. And you can do it in a Vitamix, or you can do it in a really substantial blender also. But you don't get the cooking process that takes place, the heating, I should say, that takes place that you do with a milk maker. So those give a wonderful flavor. And then to that batch that makes 5 cups, I add a scant 1/3 cup of dates and run that through the hot mixture after it's finished. And that gives it the sweetness, that the normal sweetness that regular milk would have. You can use brown rice syrup and you can use other things. But if you guys need more information on that, you can email me and I can send you the milk maker that I ended up. I'm on my second one. And I feel it's a good one. And Jeannie, you've had good results with yours too, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I like it. I need to go and...
And I don't know, that might be Way on the line.
This is Way, and then the left word you might be working
with. Okay, you're breaking up, plus we're hearing the kids. But I know that you started me, Way, on the combination of rice and soy, and yesterday I did rice and garbanzo, chickpeas together, and chickpeas or garbanzo beans with rice. And that came out good. I'm not as used to the flavor of it, so I mixed it with my regular mixture of almond and rice. Now, the almond's going to have a higher fat content, guys. Realize the only thing we're using our milk for primarily is a little bit over our steel-cut oats in the morning. So we're not drinking it by the glassful. If you had children and you were drinking it by the glassful, you'd probably want to alter that.
I don't mind. I'm now 111 pounds.
Well, yeah, I'm even less than that. I'm not going to tell you guys. You'll start preaching at me. So,
that's where I need to be anyway. That's why I told you on my goal. I mean, a lot of people want to lose, but that was my. I made it, so it's just.
Well, I know that has to be a perfect weight for you, Way. So I'm confident in that. So, but there's lots of information. In fact, I found a really interesting piece on. You can Google it, and you'll find information on all kinds of stuff on making your own milk. And again, that's non-animal. It is not going to be pasteurized like the stuff that you get from the store, but see, a lot of the stuff that you're buying at the store may not say GMO-free on it, so watch your labels, because if it's soy, that would be one that I would want GMO-free.
The one we make from home, it lasts for about a week anyway, so that is good enough, you know, and which is good, you know, anything but sit on the shelf for months and months, you buy them in a box,
Right, we are guaranteed of the freshness of what we're producing, and you know, when you can leave it set, even opened in the refrigerator for some time, I just question, because the fresh will not keep. the length of time that the store does. So there's other things probably added in there that causes that to happen. So, any other comments or questions, guys? We're already past the lower half of the hour here.
This is Dan. You mentioned something about a sanitizer when you're soaking your vegetables. What's that about?
Well, the ones we use in Mexico I don't see up here, but there are vegetable sprays. Now, some of you guys I've never bought one up here that you spray or put in the water. Spray and then wash, I think. I'm not sure how they're used. Ain't somebody else that's familiar with those that you've used those on?
I've seen it in magazines, but I haven't used it. But myself, I use hydrogen peroxide even at home here, so.
Okay, and what percentage peroxide are you using?
I kind of like fill the thing up and use a little capful of it.
There's different strengths of peroxide. There's up to like 30%,
down to 0.2 or something.
Oh, a really low percentage, okay. You said 1.2?
I think it's 0.2.
Point two, okay.
That's over the counter. That's regular.
Okay, it's regular over the counter. Okay, sometimes I've had people recommend a very high percentage that is not normally carried, and you would have to either order it on the internet or find a store that does carry it. I found it down at the coast. So that type you would want to be very careful with, because you can actually eat a hole in your skin by utilizing it if it would get on your body. So
water. I mean, you're talking about gallons of water. You don't pour the whole thing in your hand, but
right. And we used, on the farm, we have used peroxide on animals on open cuts for healing, but it's not the real strong. It's, what would be used for that. So, guys, just read and understand what you're doing. We're all responsible for those areas. But you will find, now that you're aware, you'll find things that say for disinfecting or sanitizing your vegetables. If you have a question on some of where, may come from. And then there's things beyond our control, how it's been watered, how it's been cultivated. So we can only control so much. We can do the best we can and just be aware. That's the main thing. The main reason we're here is awareness. Ours is education, not to tell you what you have to do.
There is the vegetarian book in the back, they do recommend 100% natural removes 98 more pesticides, and it's called Good Fruit Vegetable Wash.
That's called Good Fruit Vegetable Wash? Wait, can you block out your line for just a second while the... We're having a lot of background... Okay, go ahead.
All right. We received a sample of the vegetarian magazine, and we really like it, so we'll be getting it. But at the back, for the reader's resources, the name of the product that they have is called Fit Fruit and Vegetable Wash, and it says 100 natural and removes 98 more pesticides and waxes and other contaminants from the produce by washing with water versus washing with water alone. Certified vegan and kosher, America's number one produce wash. And then there's a number here that you can call where to order it or what. And
why don't you go ahead and give us that number, and then that will be on the recording probably that Steve is probably doing this morning.
Yes, there is. There isn't any right with the ad. Here, where is the number where you can... Well, here it is on... They have a website here.
Website, yeah.
I'll give you the website.
www.vegetariantimes, all one word, all case, .com/infocenter, I-N-F-O-C-E-N-T-E-R. Don't see a telephone number.
else. It was.
I think I've seen Fit in the grocery store. Don't they sell that as a cleaner in a grocery store?
I'm sure you would find it in the health food stores. I don't know about the regular ones. It probably just depends on what they're carrying.
Does it say what's in the product, I wonder?
It would on the label.
Yeah, I've been using, to wash my lettuce, I've been using some vinegar in the water. I'm thinking that maybe that's helping.
She actually has a product, a general cleaning product called Basic H, and I've used that for years in the water also.
Yeah.
It's not so much of a sanitizer or a disinfectant, but it's it does remove some of it. I'm not sure to what degree. It wouldn't be the same as peroxide would be, I know that. So there's lots of choices out there, guys, and like I said, be aware and just look and, you know, read some of it because it's just another health that we have. And, you know, there's the other side of it. It's carrying it to extreme that everything is so sanitized that your body has no chance to deal with negatives and not develop the immune system that we need either, because I've heard nurses talk about this, that we don't have to carry it overboard. So, again, reach a balance on these things that you're doing, but just be aware. Okay, any last minute?
Well, we got on a little bit late this morning because we made a dreadful mistake. We went and placed a big order by internet just before Christmas.
For Nikon.
We forgot about calling our Nikon order in and getting the 15% discount. So
dear.
Oh, no, but they changed it. We got there at 7 this morning, you know, and they said it hadn't been processed yet because it was late, so we're okay.
Wow, wonderful. That's the company that I'm seeing happen now is they will work their darndest to make things right for us. So,
that's what we want to do, you know, with that.
That's why we're delayed getting on, so actually we had to get on the phone right at 10 o'clock our time, which is 7 California time, and we got it corrected, so
right away,
we saved ourselves a bunch of money first thing in the morning.
Great. Well, that's a nice remark to end the call with. So you guys have a wonderful holiday season, and one of these days I'll be coming in from either the road or New York. So I'll look forward to talking to you soon, and Jeannie will be here tomorrow to answer your questions and hear your comments and hear her good reports on what she's doing also. So have a great day, and enjoy the season.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Cheryl.